ברוך השם שהחיון וקיימון והגיענו לזמן הזה תביא אבו כסית נעסוק So I want to thank Chavayim for coming. I want to thank Befrat, my wonderful and dear friend, Davi Elias, his wife Devorah, and the children. The Asifa tonight, our first Simchas Beis HaShoeva, is being sponsored by Davi and Devorah L'Zeich HaNishmas, Dora's father, Moshe Mandis Ben Yaakov Yitzchak. I wasn't zeichet to know. I think we were this. We davened many times together, but I didn't know. And I lived in Queens, but I've heard so much about what kind of a person he was. What kind of about tzedakah, unbelievable mashpia of chesed and rachmim to other Jews. So his neshama should have an aliyah, should have nachas seeing that in his name that yidden are getting together by the Chag HaAsif, Nasif of Jews. To celebrate, and that Bez Hashem, the Dovi, and Dvar and the whole Mishpacha should have Simcha, Nachas, and Brocha, and Neves, and Shalom. It's very hard to be mitzamtzem oneself, especially since you know that I talk too much, Bechlal. But on Sukkos, Davka Sukkos Chanukah, it's very hard to be mitzamtzem. Ushpizn is Yosef HaTzadik, and the meaning of Yosef HaTzadik is to be mitzamtzem oneself. Also, we have to be mindful of our neighbors to whatever degree is possible. We have a zman that we were given rishus by the county or by the police, I'm not sure. The yeshiva shalmala, the yeshiva shalmata. To have a simcha until 10:30, and it's not. We'll have a little bit kumzis, a little bit talking, and then the ikar of simcha is that we should be able to have some rekudim, lekavod the yontiv, lekavod the yushpizim. Yeah, you have to be careful. These amudim, these poles in the middle. Are not for decoration. So, our little world right now is standing on these amudim. So, it's a little bit of a hard thing to be careful when you're dancing. What does it mean? The whole meaning of being dancing, of dancing, is dafka not to pay attention and not to be careful. But this whole world is temporary, and we want it not to be more temporary than necessary for the moment, right? And we're in a dearest aroi. It's just to be mitzamtzim, just to start to say something, and then later on, so we'll sing a little bit more, and I'll say something, and then I'll have rekudim. You know, Mendel Vitebske was a Kaddish and Tahar, was from the earliest of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. It was Zeich to be by the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmud Chaver of the Rebbe Rebbeir. So it happened. It happened that one year there was a meshugan in Vitebsk that he went to the top of some hill on the outskirts of Vitebsk, and he started blowing the shofar. He was blowing the shofar, and the Jews were very, very simple and sweet and believing, and they took it as a devil pleasure, that it means that Mashiach Tzakeinu has arrived in Vitebsk. And some Jews came in, they rushed into the Rebbe of Mendel Vitebske, and they said, Rebbe, the shofar is blowing, Mashiach is here. And Rebbe Mendel Vitebske listened, and he heard the shofar, and he walked to his window, and he started smelling. And he said, no, Mashiach's not here. And he sat down and continued learning. And they asked him, Rabbi, how do you know Mashiach's not here? So the Mendel Vitebske said, Mashiach's here, it says in Pasuk, that the world will be filled with an awareness of Hashem. That even the flesh will be able to feel that Mashiach has arrived, that his knowledge and awareness of Hashem has filled the world. And I was able to smell that that time hasn't arrived. So the Samach Tzedek said, when he said over this ma'aseh, the Samach Tzedek said, no, if a Mendel of the Tepsker has such a koyach to smell, so why do you have to go to the Linda? Huh? I mean, it's such a nafkim, why couldn't he smell it from his chair with the Gemara? Why did he have to go to the window? So you know what the answer is. That Samach Tzedek says the Vaposhet, that in the room of Mendel of the Tepsker, Mashiach was already there. It's the outside world, it's such a tumah in the outside world, but in his room, it was impossible to tell the difference. You know, that's what a sukkah is. That's what the Antir of Sukkot is, and let me explain for a few minutes what that means. The Antir of Sukkot is to be zarekha to sit, but certainly the Mehemanus had to sit with the Rebbeinu Shalom in such a way in the sukkah. Of Yemina Techad Kaini, that the Rebbeinu Shalom is mamish holding us, and we're able to be gathered in. To be gathered in Mamish, Chag HaOsif from the outside world, and to be able to smell what it's like at the end, and all there is Simcha, and all there is Yedidah's friendship and Ahava. The problem is that everyone of us believes in Tshuva. And every one of us believes in the Chila and Kapara, that we're forgiven for our Aveiros, and the Hashem, and if the Yom Kippur, we're happy. And we believe in that. But then there's this little Yetzahara, this little Sitra'achrala, that whispers into the ear of a Jew. He asks some Akash on the Rambam. The emphasis is that every one of us believes the Rambam, no? The Rambam is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's the Rebbe of all Klai Yisrael, and all of us should believe in the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Lo halach in Hilchos Shuva, that Amish, that yesterday, this person, when he was doing his Aveiros, he was Meshukas and Metuav, he was disgusting, he was an abomination. Right? That was yesterday, when he was doing his Aveiros. And today, he's Ahul, the Chavid, the Nechmad, and he's beloved and delicious and sweet. That's what the Rambam passes. So then there's this little Yetzirah that says, it's true the Rambam is a genius. Nobody's arguing with that. But in this Inyan, as far as you're concerned, the Rambam wasn't right. The Rambam was right about many other people. And certainly the Rambam Paskim, that if a Jew does tshuva, that yesterday he was disgusting and today he's delicious. But he wasn't talking about you. And it always happens to be you, that he has that little voice of the Yetzirah of the Satan that says that it's not you. And a person doesn't understand, how could it be possible? How is it possible that yesterday I was meshukats and metuav? That a couple of days ago or yesterday, whatever it was, that I was involved in all kinds of crazy things and aveiros, meshukats and metuav. And hayom the Rambam paskin that nechmad, that a person is beautiful and sweet and delicious. And a person can't believe much, they can't believe in that. So that's what sukkahs is all about. After Yerush Yom Kippur, so even though we believe in Tshuva, so what does the Baruch Shalom say? The Baruch Shalom says, Boya'ami. The Baruch Shalom says to his people to come into his special, into his room, into his sukkah, into that place where everything is clear. The Baruch Shalom says, come together with him. The Yemina Techad Keini, that the Baruch Shalom mamish places his arms around every Jew. Because we don't understand. When we left Mitzrayim, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. When we were in Egypt on the 49th level of Tumah, we were in the lowest place. And if we don't understand, how is it possible? How could it be that when we left Mitzrayim, all of a sudden the Baruch Shalom lifted us up to the highest place? Just like we couldn't believe after the Chayta Egel, after the sin of the golden calf, we couldn't believe that it was possible that the Baruch Shalom still loved us. Amish, yesterday we were disgusting, we were an abomination, we were running around the golden calf. And all of a sudden, Kol Daidi Daifek, the voice of my beloved is knocking, the Baruch Shalom puts us in a Mishkan, he builds us a Mishkan, and he says that I love you, we couldn't believe it. Therefore, V'yemina Tachab Keini, as I told the children in the Sukkah the other night, when we got together on Yontif, every year I tell the Olam that Rabbi Leib La'Eger is Chus Yagilani said that V'yimah et Chabkeini means that the minimum shear of a sukkah of the defonus is the two walls and a tefach and something, a little bit. And that's how you hug somebody, right? There's that part of the arm up to here, and then there's the other part of the arm to the hand. And then there's the hand. That's the little part that's holding the person. That's a chibuk. That's the yimina techabkeini. And Chazal say in the pasuk, the yimina techabkeini, that his right arm is embracing me, that the embrace of Hashem is sukkahs. And that means that the Baruch Shalom is telling each and every Jew, just like Yosef HaTzadik, the Yishpidin is Yosef HaTzadik, that the brothers couldn't believe it. When Yosef HaTzadik said, Ani Yosef, at that moment they felt so hated and so despised, even the conversation they were having before. Avol Hashemim Anachnem. And Hashem, we're guilty, which is the Isis Amish, which is the Isis of yesterday. We're guilty. We're mamish guilty. We did the most horrible thing. We listened. Our brother was screaming. We didn't care. We didn't pay attention. And then in one second, Yosef HaTzadik is putting his arms around him and is crying and saying, "Va'ate alti atzu, don't be sad." And Yosef HaTzadik is putting his brothers in a sukkah together with him. And Yosef HaTzadik means to gather together, to bring together. And the brothers can't believe it. A second ago we were so despised and we were so hated, we were so guilty. And now Yosef HaTzadik is saying, no, you have no idea how much I love you. Al te'atzu, don't be sad. Every single week when a person goes through the 6 days of the week and he feels so far, far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 6 days of the week, so it's very hard for him to come to Shabbos. You know, Friday is Yosef HaTzadik and Erev Shabbos is Yosef HaTzadik, the sixth day, and it's so hard to come to Shabbos. And only because of Yosef HaTzadik, who brings his brothers together, who says, Ani Yosef, every single week, the Ari HaKadosh said an amazing thing. The Arizal said that the gematria of Ner, the candle of Shabbos, Ner Shabbos, the Arizal said the gematria of Ner is 250. Why? So he says, because it equals the 248 Avarim, the 248 limbs of a person, of a Jew. That's 248. What's the other two? So he says, the Ari HaKadosh says that the other two are the two gadfen, are the two wings, the two arms of Hashem that hold the Jew next to him when he lights the candles of Shabbos, when he becomes Shabbos day. Because a person can't believe it. A person can't believe it. During the 6 days of the week, he's so low. And how could it be all of a sudden, in a second, he's in Hashem's sukkah? In a second, the Yiminat HaKeni, Hashem is hugging him. In a second. Just like we didn't believe when we left Mitzrayim, 49 places, 49 levels of Tumah. And in a second, Hashem is hugging us. And he places us in the sukkahs, in the Anani HaKav. And he tells us, Ate Al Te'atz, when he gives us a Mishkan, Imamish, it's impossible to believe. How can things have changed so suddenly? And could you imagine if we think about this, if we would think about this on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, when we're holding the Sefer Torah, when we're hugging the Sefer Torah, if we think about how the Rebbeinu Shalom is mamish giving a hug to each and every one of us, that no matter what we went through during the 6 days of the week, and no matter what we went through the entire year, and even after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a person feels sad, because it could be that from since Yom Kippur till now, some of those old things have come up again, and not everything's going the way it's supposed to go. And the Baruch Shalom says to each and every Jew, Haben Yaakov Li Ephraim, that you are my precious child, Haben Yaakov Li Ephraim. And Haben Yaakov Li Ephraim, it says in the Sforma Kedoshim, means that sometimes you have a son that wasn't the best son. And he was taken away into captivity. So the Tzaddikim say that when the father is finally able to be reunited with that son, when he's able to see the child again, so the father, could you imagine, what kind of a father if he hadn't seen his son for an entire year? He hadn't seen the son. The son was taken captive by the worst people, by enemies, who were beating and torturing his son. And finally his son was free. Now remember, this was a son that didn't always behave. So finally the son was free. So could you imagine if the moment that son was free and he came home, he came back to the father, that the father would say, by the way, I can't believe you left your room that way. I can't believe it. Not only that, Not only that, I saw your report card and it stinks. Your report card is the worst. What kind of things that? You got an 89 in English. You couldn't already get a 90. What kind of riches is that? Lahach is just to make mommy daddy upset, right? You should have gotten a 90. And how come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? No father in the world would do such a thing. Even if it's a father who had so many tainas the whole time. When the report card and the room is not clean and you didn't do this and you didn't do that. All those things. But if the child was away for a long time, was a prisoner, was taken away. So when the child is able to return, when the child's back together with his parents, so that moment the father just grabs the kid to give him a hug. And the kid's thinking, hold, and the kid might even say, well, 1 second, Daddy, listen, maybe you didn't see my room yet. He says, of course I see your room. I saw it the whole year. Everything is just the way you left it. So, Daddy, maybe you didn't see my report card yet. I saw your report card. It's terrible. So maybe, Daddy, about the other things, you know, that I did wrong, you know, remember when I took your car without permission and I drove into the garage, you know? I know such a mice. So what about all the cheshbainis? In other words, what about Rosh Hashanah Kippur, all the cheshbainis? So at that moment, the father would say, forget about it. What are you talking about? Just for fall. I'm so happy to see you. It's so good to see you. And he just puts his arm around his son and gives him a hug and Ben Yaakov. Maybe later on they'll talk about some of the inyanim. But right now, that's what Sukkot is. Right now, you're not standing by the window. Right now you don't smell the outside. You don't smell any of those things. When it's Sukkot, your mamish in the room with the Rebbeinu Shlom, he takes you into his private chambers and the Yemina Techabkeini with Reb Mendel Vitebske. You're sitting in some place with a tzaddik, with Yosef HaTzaddik. And Yosef HaTzaddik, everything is perfect, everything is good, everything is the way it's supposed to be. Osaf Hashem Elokim is Cheposi. There's no more embarrassment. There's no more humiliation. It's just Chag Osif. It's just Yidden that are joined together to celebrate being Jewish, to be besimcha with a Yiddish guy. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be zoiche to feel this simcha. We should be zoiche and sukkahs, which is the highest simcha of the whole year, and the spizn of Yosef HaTzadik. The spizn of Yosef HaTzadik, the unbelievable brachas and shefa of Yosef HaShem Li Ben Acher, but HaShem is brought when he sees the Jews are besimcha, especially by the spizn of Yosef HaTzadik, that HaShem adds more parnasa, more children, more simcha, all good things that the Baruch Shalom adds into our lives. We should be zeichem as Hashem to see the Yishpizim with our eyes, even though it's true that to believe in the Yishpizim, the Kotzke said, is a higher madrega than seeing them. But for thousands of years, we have believed in the Yishpizim, and the time has come. The time has come for us to be zeichem to see, to come for us to be able to see with our eyes, to see the Yishpizim with our eyes. Because Baruch should help us that we should be zeichem to the Gula Hashem v'karv mamash. As always, the Chevra from Eish Kodesh, led by Yidideinu HaKodesh Israel, arranging things. And let me tell you, I'll tell you a sukkah story. It doesn't mention sukkahs in it, but I'll tell you a story, and then we'll dance a little bit more in it. To make achanis for Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, a sukkah story. When the Rebbe of Naftali Rapshitz was nifter, when he was mastalik, when he left this world, so he left some unbelievable tzaddikim who were his disciples who were lost. And we're looking for a tzaddik, looking for a rebbe to be able to continue to receive from. Now, during his life, Naftali Rapshitz was very close friends with the Sar Sholem from Belz, from Sholem Belzer. So two of the famous disciples of the Rapshitz, one of whom you all heard of, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov. And another tzaddik was also a Goyen Olam. And because there really wasn't a continuation, so many people didn't hear of it, Rav Sholem from Kaminka. the Divrei Chaim, Reb Sholem, Yedidim, Chavrusas, and they went searching for tzaddik, and they decided that the first place to go, since their Rebbe, Naftali, was so close to the Sar Sholem from Belz, that they would go to Belz Rebbe. So they went to the Belz Rebbe, and they saw by him great avaida. And the Belz Rebbe saw that these two, the Divrei Chaim and Reb Sholem, that these were not ordinary people, and he was makar of them very, very much. Until finally, he went over to the two of them one day, and he realized that they're on a level, they're on a madrega, where he could reveal to them the secret of how to die. Now, that sounds like a pretty morbid thing, but the emphasis is that tzaddikim knew, and they know, that if one doesn't know how to die, then one really doesn't know how to live as a Jew. You have to know how to die as a Jew in order to be able to live as a Jew. So the Rebbe of Sholem Belzer said that he wants to be Megalodis site of how to die, to reveal the secret to the two tzaddikim, to Divrei Chaim of Sholem, the secret of how a Jew should die. But in order for them to be able to be Mekabel, he instructed them that they have to fast for 3 days, and they have to go to the mikveh 18 times each day. And that he's going to be Magala this site, he's going to reveal this secret at the end. And so it was that the Abchaim Sanze and Abshon Kaminka went, they fasted 3 days with all the Avoida, whatever that meant for them, and they went to the mikveh. And finally, after the final time that they went to the mikveh, they went to the Tzaddik of Sholem Belzer, and he was Megala to them this inyan of what it means to be able to die as a Jew. The next day, they were in the kitchen by the Bis Medrash. And Belz was a beautiful Bis Medrash. They were in the kitchen. And, you know, the Belzer Rebbe had a Rebbetzin that's very famous, Rebbetzin Malka. There aren't too many stories that we have about Rebbetzins, but Rebbetzin Malka was very, very well known. She was a tzaddikus in her own right, a very big tzaddikus. And the tzaddikim said about Rebbetzin Malka and Absalom Belzer that the two of them were like Adam and Chav and Gan Eden before the Chait. So Rebbetzin Malka, apparently, her husband, the Rebbe, Absalom Belzer, told her that he gave over this secret to the Divrei Chaim and to Absalom Kaminka. So when she saw Reb Naftali Rapshitzer, when she saw the Divrei Chaim and Absalom Kaminka, she went over and said, "No, so what do you think? Here in Belz, you hear such a thing that my husband told you such an unbelievable thing. What do you think of my? What do you think?" And she was very proud of her husband that he has such sightness to give over. So what do you think? So the Divrei Chaim said, "Look, if you really want to know what we think, you have to daven to remove any trace of jealousy that you have in your heart." So she went to the corner, and for half hour she was davening and crying, and she came back and she said, "There's no jealousy in my heart at all." It's pretty good. So she removed all jealousy. So then the tzaddikim said, "Look, we have to tell you the truth. We already knew the secret. We knew the secret because we heard it from the Naftali Rapshitzer. When your husband offered it to us, we thought we'd like to see if it's the same thing. We wanted to know if it's the same. It's a big inyan. We wanted to know if there are any differences. So we have to tell you the truth that we already knew the secret." So you understand. That's why she had to remove some jealousy. So then the Divrei Chaim said, "But there's something else we wanted to tell you. But in order for us to tell you this, you have to daven to remove any trace of hatred that you might have in your heart." She davened for another half hour, and she was crying. She came back and she said, "There's absolutely no hatred left in my heart for anybody, for anything." So then the Divrei Chaim said this. Listen, the Divrei Chaim said, "Now we can tell you the difference between how our Rebbe Reb Naftali Rapshitzer told us the secret of death, and how your husband, the Tzaddik Reb Sholem from Belz, told us the secret. Your husband, Reb Sholem, told us with fasting, with crying, and going to the mikveh. This is how our Rebbe told us, Reb Naftali. He said that Reb Naftali Rapshitzer was so poor, there was such poverty in his court, in his place, there was such poverty. But the Rebbe Chaim said that even on Shabbos, for many years, even on Shabbos, they didn't have any fish or meat. They used to just eat potatoes on Shabbos. But there was simcha, there was joy there, like we were waiting to see Rav Mashiach. There was such a simcha there, and there was such a Shabbos, everything was simcha. But the poverty was unbearable. So he said that, as the Rebbe Chaim said, so it was one time on a Friday, we were, Rav Shalom and I, the Chavrusas, we were peeling potatoes. Because the Chassidim wasn't just go and learn in Daven, you lived in the court. So he says we were peeling potatoes, and there was a big basin of water, and we were peeling potatoes. And all of a sudden, Rav Naftali Rapshasir, our Rebbe, came over, and he put his head between ours, and he hugged the two of us, and then he grabbed the fattest potato, and he threw it into the water, and it splashed all over us. He said, I have to tell you that at that moment that he did that, we felt that we had just got out of the mikveh more than 18 times a day. When he splashed the potato, the water on us with the potato. And then, when we were dripping wet with the water, so then Rav Naftali whispered in our ears, this sight, this mystery of how to die as a Jew. And then he walked out. He was walking out of the room. And when he came to the mezuzah, he was holding the mezuzah, and he turned around, and he started laughing. That's how we learned the mystery of dying from Rav Naftali Rapshasir. So how's that sukkahs? What's sukkahs? You see, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, a Jew comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way of Reb Shalom Belzer, which is an amazing, unbelievable thing to come back like Reb Shalom Belzer, the way he taught for a Jew to understand the tachlis of his life. What does it mean, the mystery of death? It means the tachlis of being in this world, whatever he told him. But the Zohar Kodesh says, Achriz Rav Mesifta, that the Rosh Shiva called out, what do you do with a piece of wood that's not able to catch fire? It's in the fire, but this piece of wood is not catching on fire. So he said you have to break it into a lot of pieces, you smash it into a lot of pieces. And when you smash it into a lot of pieces, so then the wood is going to, the little pieces, it's going to catch on fire. So he says the same thing with the Nishmosa. Sometimes you have a Yid, you have a Jew, and this Jew is, his goof, his body is so filled with wrong things, that the light of the Neshama, it says in the Zohar, it's in Pasha Shlach, that the light of the Neshama is not able to take hold of this person. You know, you have a person his whole life, he's putting on tefillin, he's keeping Shabbos, he davens in a minyan, he learns a black gemara, he learns Shulchan Aruch, but there's pushed no fire. The fire doesn't take hold of him. So the Zohar says, so how do you cause such a person to catch on fire? Mevachimle, you smash him, until the nehira de nishmasa, until the light of the neshama begins to shine. So there are two ways to smash a Jew to a million pieces. There are two ways. Most of us are talmidim from the first way that we've been talking about, which is just to break and to break. So we heard about fasting, and we heard about mikveh, and we heard about what's wrong. And ultimately, a person can come to high madrigas if he's able to survive. You understand that those two tzaddikim could survive the avoda that Reb Shalom Belzer gave them. But in our generation, is very, very hard. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, mevachin lei, that a Jew is b'chol levavos yiruucha, a Jew is smashed into pieces, he's broken into pieces, so that what? So that the aveiros, the guf has such azus, like Rabbi Nachman said, yesterday was Rabbi Nachman's yahrzeit, the guf has such azus, the guf is so chutzpitik. So what do? You have to give a patch. You have to break the goof. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur you fast. That's Esamei Tshuva, the whole the whole avoid is breaking, so that when a person smashes, when a Jew is broken, so then the epistin neshama could begin to shine. That's one way to bring out the light from a Jew. But there's a sukkistic way, in the shmei tzaris and pastara way, to bring the light out of a Jew. And that's what Natali Rabshisa was doing. But Natali Rabshisa was saying that for the end of time, even though of course Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur could begin, it begins, but most of us can't take it. We can't deal with the Yom Kippur all year. Even though it's such a schus to have Yom Kippur, all of us are thankful it's only once a year. It's such a schus, but it's hard. And you feel broken, and to stretch out some light, many of us just become very nervous and afraid and worried and depressed. And the simcha that we're supposed to feel after Yom Kippur, the light coming out, is really a simcha of being relieved that, Baruch Hashem, I survived the Yom Kippur. So how do you nowadays get the light out of a Jew? So I think that's what Naftali Rabshisa was doing. First he put his head between the two tzaddikim and he gave them a hug. He went with the Jews, he went with the people. It doesn't say he gave them a hug from the outside. He said, the Devar Chaim said, he put his head between us and he hugged us all together. And he picked up the biggest potato. The stamma that has to do with the union of achilu, with eating, our way is not fasting anymore to get close to Hashem. Of course, we have to keep all the fast days, but it's much easier nowadays for a Jew to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a big, big, fat potato kugel. And if you're one of the few who likes lashon kugel, then it could be a lashon kugel. And with a cholent and a tzimmes. And to be able to enjoy, but in a way of kedusha and tahara, and the mikveh. There are many Jews who have spent their entire lives in mikvahs. What kind of mikvahs? Mikvahs of crying, mikvahs of krechzing, mikvahs of disappointments, of sadness, which also purify. There's no question about it. Absalom Dulls a new one. He was right. It purifies. And the earlier generation, it was unbelievable, the purification that was brought in the earlier times from those mikvahs of Jewish tears and the mikvahs of fire, mikvahs of ice. What haven't Jews been in? Mikvahs of fire and mikvahs of ice. The tears of Jews. But our tefillah is that the Rebbeinu Shalom should purify us in the way of a Naftali Rabshisa, to throw a kugel into the water and it splashes on the faces and it's a mikveh and it purifies with simcha. And he taught them the mystery of how to live as a Jew and how to die as a Jew. And then we walked to the door, he turned around, he just started to live. So you think after he gave a shiur on how to die, it would be something to cry about. And Naftali Rabshisa turned around and he said, the last thing is he was just laughing. And that's how we left the world too. That's a different ma'aseh for a different time. Also left the world telling a joke, left the world making Jews live. That's how Naftali Rabshisa taught that avoid. So I mentioned the other night to some of the Chevra in Queens, I said something that one of the guys asked afterwards, like, where is that from? So I don't know. It was from something that I was thinking about. I suppose it needs some place in the Rishonim. But the truth is, it seems very poshut. That it's called that the Yontiv is Chag HaAsif, the Yontiv of gathering in, the Yontiv of gathering. So I mentioned to the Chevra the other night in Queens that gathering in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Jews are so busy gathering all their Aveiros together. They're gathering their Aveiros. You know, I've told you many times that when Naftali Rabshisa was going to Tashlich and the whole Lublin was coming back from Tashlich. The Chayza was coming back with tens of thousands of Chassidim. And there was only one person who was going the other direction. You know, you guys have a yid like that? But Naftali Rabshisa was going the other way. And when he was running, so they screamed, Naftali, Naftali, where are you going? So he says, I'm going to pick up the Rebbe's Aveiros. I want those Aveiros for the Rebbe to wear. Those are the Aveiros. So the whole time, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Jews are thinking about their Aveiros. And gathering their affairs, making a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and breaking themselves and smashing into a million pieces to try to bring a little fire to those pieces. Then what's the avodah of sukkahs? The avodah of sukkahs is for a Jew to gather the good that he does during the year. It's funny about it. A Jew can remember every aveira he did, if he wants to remember. If a person's serious, he can remember every aveira. He can remember anything that went wrong during the year. If you ask him on the, you know, on Yud Zayin Cheshvan, oh, Yud Zayin Cheshvan. Don't let me ask you, I waited 2 hours for the train, Yud Zayin Cheshvan. What about Yud Ches? Yud Ches, that client spit in my face and walked away. What about Yud Tes? Yud Tes, I don't even talk about. A Jew can remember, and what about the Aveiros? He remembers also. All the Aveiros. But there's one thing that we're not good at. We're not good at gathering our mitzvahs together. The Yahamish Nachas Ruach HaJub Bitz Hashem is born during the year. Sukkot is the time where we return to Hashem Be'ahav out of love. You know what that means? That means Rav Naftali Rupshitz is mikveh. It means laughing. It means simcha. It means there's another way. There's another way to break a Jew. You break a Jew dancing until all the good comes out. Singing until all the good comes out. Praising him, saying good things. Hugging a Jew until you squeeze the good out of a Jew. That's what Naftali Rupshitz was saying, is the mystery of being in this world, of leaving this world. So Chag HaOsef means that a Jew has to stop and to remember. How many times he didn't feel like smiling, but he wanted to give Jew chizik and he smiled. How many times he didn't feel like getting up in the morning to daven, and he tried to get up in the morning, he went to daven. How many times he felt like screaming at a kid, and he held himself back. You never remember that. You always remember the times that you screamed. You always remember the times that you messed up. But you never ever remember the good things. It's just the nature of a person. Not to remember the good. It's the teva. What's Chag HaOsef? Why is it Zman Simcha Seinu? What's the Simcha of Sukkot? The Simcha of Sukkot, especially, is the Shpizn of Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik saw a dream. V'hine anachnu ma'almim alum b'sei chasada. The gathering together. The whole Indian of Yosef, his name is Osaf Elokim Eschepos. He means to gather together. And he saw in his dream the ingathering of the sheaves, right? Being brought together. Of all good. And therefore Yosef was the Mashbir. Yosef was Tzadik Yisad Olam. What's the Indian of Yosef at Tzadik? Yosef is the one who gathers in the food, who gathers in all the kaychas. Yosef is the one who tells us to remember the good that we've done, to gather together all the maisim tovim, to gather all the nakudas tovis together, all the good in another Jew, to see all the good in another Jew, to see that it's all good, to bring all the good together. It was a Biyana Chosid before the war. Rav Nutte Seinwerth, I think that was his name, Rav Nutte. And Rav Nutte was such a Jew that he would walk around, and if he would see another Jew that looked like he was upset or depressed, Rav Nutte used to go over to him and would talk to him sometimes for 2-3 hours to try to put him in a good mood, because he couldn't stand to see that a Jew should be depressed. And he would say to him, you know, you have the best wife, you have the best children, you have the best business. And somehow, after an hour or two, even though maybe his wife wasn't the best, maybe his kids weren't the best, maybe the business was falling apart, but somehow that you felt good. And they say that this Rav Nutte Seinwerth, once on a Purim, he was in that place of drinking, which then you have Yom Kippur and Purim. Except Yom Kippur, it's hard because it's without drinking. So this Rav Nutte stood up on a table and he said, you know, here we have a number of chaburas. I don't remember which shtetl he lived in, but we have a number of groups. There's a Shas Chevra, there's a Chevra Shas, there's an Ein Yankiv Chevra, there's a Mishnayis Chevra, there's a Chevra Kedisha. We shouldn't have to need such a thing, but there's a Chevra Kedisha. There's a Chevra Gemilas Chasadim. For every different Indian, there's a chevra, there's a different chevra. We have in Yerushalayim, as I said, also there are different chevras that take care. There's a Telem chevra, there's this chevra, different chevras. So this Rav Nutte said, on Purim, he got up on the table and he started to scream out, I, Nutte, Tzeinwerth, I want to start a new chevra, a new chabura. It's going to be called the Gamzu L'Toyver chevra. A Gamzu L'Toyver chevra. Now, what are the rules of the chevra? How do you belong to the chevra? The way you belong to the chevra is that when we're walking on the street, if you're with, or whether, even if you're by yourself, if you see another Jew, or you see another Jew that looks like he's been gathering too many of his aveiros together, and he's depressed. So if you see another Jew like that, so that if you're a member of the Gamzul Taiva Chabura, of this chevra, that means you have to try, if there's anybody else there, to go with another Jew, and to scream out Gamzul Taiva, Gamzul Taiva, and to go over to this Jew and to tell him the Gamzul Taiva. That's the Gamzu L'Toyva Chevra that this Biyana Chosid Rav Nutte started some place before the Milchama, sometime. That's what it means. That's what it means, the Inyan of Yosef HaTzadik. Everybody thinks that the Koyach of Yesod HaTzadik in a scary negative way, it means Tikkun HaBrius and Kedushas HaBrius, it's all true. But Yesod HaTzadik also means to gather together all that sustains you, all that keeps you going. Therefore, the Zman Simchaseinu, this time of Zman Simchaseinu, is when we gather in all the good that we've ever done, and to know that the Baruch Shalom has such unbelievable nachas. You know, on Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we have Nisach HaMayim, not Nisach HaYayim. Yikir is Nisach HaMayim. It's the ingathering of the water. Why the water? Because Yayin already means Yana Madrega. Yayin means understanding. Wine means understanding. Wine means a person has asagas. What does Mayin mean? Mayin means doesn't have any taste at all. Mayin means the simplest thing. So we think that the only thing that the Baruch Shalom loves is when we bring him offerings of wine. It's not true. Sukkos means that you bring Hashem an offering of water. B'shafta mayim b'sosim yimayna Yeshua means that every single drop, even if it's the simplest thing, even if you thought that it was a mitzvah that you did without tamberech, you know, like you made a bracha, all right, we're supposed to make our brachas better. So you made a b'nefoshes, you don't even remember if you said it or not, you're holding, I don't know if it ever happened to you, if you're holding a krishma, you don't remember if you're in the first part, it ever happened to you? When you get to the Kshartan part, right, or Chsaftan, you're not sure, I'm holding it, you know, and Shulchan Aruch deals with these shalas, because obviously it happened to Jews. We had a chevra like that when I lived in Farak, where we had a chevra Friday night to wake each other up. There was one Jew that was on guard at the table, and if anybody else fell asleep by Krishna, to wake him up, right? When it's one of those Friday nights, you know, it's warm in the Bismedrish, it's cold outside, and you're not sure what you're holding by Krishna Shal Shachar, Shal Arvis, Shal Mincha, you don't know where you're holding. So those Krishmas you thought, when you went to Yom Kippur, you were crying, what kind of creation is that? And it's true, we have to make better creations, and we have to say better brachas. But on Sukkot, when you gather together everything that's good, even those creations are lifted up to a higher place. Ushafta mayim b'sosim. Every single drop of water doesn't have to be wine. Wine is good, it's gewaldig. But even if it's water, it's ushafta mayim b'sosim. Ushafta mayim b'sosim. That's the ikar of Sukkot. That's the simcha of Sukkot. The simple things in life. The few moments that you're able to spend with a child, the time that you are able to remember, you think, so a person sits down and thinks, so I had a nice feeling during a Shabbaton, during a Shalashudas, during a Kumzitz, but how much of my life do I spend by Kumzitz? Altogether, how many times do I sing Uvnei Uvnei? How many times do I sing, you know, L'mana Chavrayai? Altogether in a year, I spend not even 1/10,000th of the year singing L'mana Chavrayai, and the rest of the time I'm arguing with somebody. So what is it worth? A person thinks it's not worth anything. So Nisach HaMayim tells you, no, it's worth. Ushafta Mayim Misos, and the Baruch Shalom has Nachas Ruach from every drop of water that a Jew does. For you, the simplest avoda of a Jew, the Baruch Shalom has infinite Nachas Ruach from each and every one of us. Just like if you would see a child that's not doing so well in school, but then the child's making a little bit of an effort. Every single drop of effort, you want to give him a kiss, you want to give him a hug, you want to tell him mitsuyan mamish. And the worst thing is when somebody, God forbid, has a teacher, we have a kid that's trying so hard, and every single test he gets back, and it's got, you know, 30 on it, 32, with red and dark, and then calling the parents, and the kids, and then the next week the kids, so he used the method of Reb Shalom Belza, and the kid was breaking a little bit, so he's trying a little harder with his work, so now he's up to a 45. He went from a 32 to a 45, it's gewaldic, no? So the kid should get some sort of recognition, should get some sort of chizik. So again, he looks at the paper, red, no good, failure. Parents get a call, vita, tries again, just to get a 65, Reb Shalom, just help me get a 65. Then you have a teacher that gives a 64, you know? There's such a rosh that gives a 64. So the teacher gives a 64, nachamal, it's in red, and then he gets a report card, and the report card also has red on it. So nowadays it doesn't work. Maybe in school, someplace, somewhere that could work, but even in the school it doesn't work. But if the kid picked himself up from a 32 and he's doing better, he's got a 45, and you show him, gewaldic, and you tell him that. You tell them, you go over to him, you say, it's really, you know, I see that you're trying harder and it's so good. And you know, you put your head next to his and you hug him and you throw a potato into the water and you title him in the Rabbi Natali Rav, she says, mikveh, and you laugh with him, then you'll see it'll go way past that 65. And you know what? And if you can't get past 65, that's okay. You still give him a 90. And those kids turn out to be Jews that know what a sukkah is. They don't live their whole life broken and with their heads down. And what's the nafkamin anyway at the end? You know? It's an afgimen, something like 65 or 95, so stupid often. It's an afgimen. But to make a Jew feel good, to make a person, to give a person a simcha, and to make him feel that he's worth something, you have to bring him into the Gamzu L'Toyva Chavra. That doesn't mean you tell him, oh, 25 Gamzu L'Toyva. That's not a good idea. Even a non-traditional type like myself, you would do that. I can't go like that. So 25, you don't say Gamzu L'Toyva. You say, listen, you have Gevaldige Kaychus, let's try to, you give him some incentive, something. Those are the teachers. Those are the teachers that you remember your entire life. The ones that gave you 64, you also remember. But not L'Toyva. Right? But to remember in a good way the ones that they... And afterwards, like I always say, I mentioned many times in Shul, that my Rebbe of David Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, so when he said something as Svar in Shia, so he would call it, he knew that all my father was lives for in this world is to hear, some good Torah that his son said something. And Rav David would call him up. Rav David knew what my father went through, all the Gehenims that my father was through. And he didn't call every single. He knew which ones, but he would call up and say, my father would call over my mother. It was a whole event, it was a thing to listen on the other line. And Rav David would say over the Torah and would say, oh, Moshe said, I don't even think I said it. Rav David fixed it up, maybe a little nekuda. But then Rav David, just to be mesamech my father, that my father, it was a chiyas, my father. So let's say I didn't say such a good story. So the only ones that knew about it were myself, my Rebbe, and the Rav Yishalom. But Rav David knew that he could be mechayim my father like that. And then my father would tell me, and they would want, and I would be excited to try to do better next time, to try to say something else in Shia, and to try to concentrate, to make Rav David happy, so that he should make my father happy, and the whole life is like that. And he didn't go to, Rav David never went to, he didn't get any masters in education, I can tell you that. He never got a masters in education. But he loved Jews. And he knew how to make a Jew shine. He knew how to say good words to a Jew. That's the name of Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef HaTzadik was born, his mother, our mother, Rachel Imena, said, Asaf Elokim Ischeposi, no more. And in gathering, all the embarrassment is removed. All the shame is removed. All the sadness is removed. Yosef HaShem Li Ben Acher, another child. More simcha. Yosef means there should be more. When a person's besimcha, then there's more brach in the house. When a person is living the way of Yosef HaTzadik, given Naftali Rapshut, so when you live that way, when there's laughter in the house, when there's simcha in the family, then there's more panasa, there's more kedusha, there's more shmiras einayim, there's more shmiras habris. When there's simcha, when a person is depressed, when a person is sad, so then everything begins to fall apart. And that's the yontif of sukkis, to be happy. To be happy with the little bit that we try, the little bit that we nachas, that we think is a little bit, is a lot for Hashem. I'm going to tell you now a litvisha thing, an amazing thing. You know that Reb Chaim Volozhin had a brother? Who heard of Reb Chaim Volozhin's brother? What was his name? Huh? What was Reb Chaim Volozhin's brother? Reb Zalman. Okay, Shalom Yaron. Reb Chaim Volozhin's brother, Reb Zalman, died at a young age. Reb Zalman was bigger than Reb Chaim Volozhin in learning. He was unbelievable, Reb Zalman. And he was Makusha to the Vilna Gaon. Now we know that Reb Chaim Volozhin was the greatest Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. Reb Zalman was even closer. Remember, he didn't live long. And the Gaon loved him. Nafshe k'shuv b'nafshe. So one time, Reb Zalman Volozhin asked the Gaon, he said, what's going to be, Rabbi? What's going to hold the later generations? He was looking at us. He was looking at us, people like us. What's going to hold them as Jews? Reb Zalman must have looked into the future, and he knew that the Gaon saw way, way beyond any human being. So Reb Zalman, he asked the Gaon, what's going to hold them together at the end of time? What's going to be with them at the end of time? What's going to keep them going? So you know what the Gaon told him? The Gaon said, what's going to hold them together is what it says in Chazal. First he said what it says in Chazal. That's how the Gaon spoke. What it says in Chazal. So Reb Zalman said, what Chazal?
So he said, in Tanad Velio. In Tanad Velio. So Reb Zalman, in 5 seconds, went over the whole Tanad Velio. Reb Zalman will call it Torah Kula. Next to the Goyim, there's nobody that had a mind like Reb Zalman Velazhin. He went through the whole Tanad Velio. And Reb Zalman says, Rebbe, I went through Tanad Velio, I don't see the Chazal. What's going to hold the Jews at the end of time? So the Goyim was, he says, in the first parak. So Reb Zalman Velazhin and Nachman goes over the first parak in 2 seconds. This is the first parak. I don't see it. Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. What's going to hold the Eden together? What's going to hold them together? So the guy said, no, the first se'if, the first paragraph, in the first paragraph of Tanad Elio. So now Reb Zalman Velazhin said, but he knew it by heart. So Reb Zalman Velazhin has said the first paragraph. In the first paragraph is beautiful, beautiful Lashon. It's talking about Hashem's greatness and speaking about Hashem's midas. And it says that Hashem, one of the things it says over there, that Hashem is a gibor, he's powerful, he's great. And it says that Hashem sees what's good. Now listen to this. The Ashir, it says that Hashem is wealthy. V'sameach b'chelka. And Hashem rejoices with his portion. V'sameach b'chelka. And that's what the Goyim said is going to hold the Jews together before Mashiach comes, to keep them as Jews. So it's not a chassidish word, yeah? From the Goyim himself. What does it mean? Hashem is sameach b'chelka. It means that the Baruch Shalom knows where we're holding, and we have to try as hard as we can. But the Baruch Shalom is sameach b'chelka. He rejoices with every nisach hamayim, every drop of water, every effort that a Jew makes to be better, to stay away from the wrong thing, to be a little bit of a yeser atzadik, to be a little bit more vayonis v'yetzei achutzah, vayonis v'yetzei. When you see something that's wrong for you, vayonis v'yetzei, look how yeser atzadik ran away. Look how yeser atzadik tried to see his father's image. We should try to see our rebellion, our father's images, to see them, to keep us back. Any effort that we make to be like yeser atzadik, Hashem is sameach b'chelka. And Goyim said that's what's going to keep us as Jews before Mashiach comes. The knowledge that whatever good that we do, the Baruch Shalom rejoices with that good. He has such nachas, he has such simcha from the good that we do. And if we would be that way with ourselves, with our wives, with our children, at the same time, to do our best, and to use it as an incentive, then we would certainly be zeicher finally for the great asifa that's going to take place. It's going to take place in Hashem with Mashiach Tzekein, Ula Hashem V'Amitis, from Hand Yomein Ha'olam.